What's up, guys, and welcome back to another episode here on the Architect Network. Today, we've got a very special guest. We've got Sylvia Ruida from Heatherwick Studios. Sylvia is an immersive media specialist, and so she covers everything that involves Twinmotion, Unreal, game engines, augmented reality, virtual reality, and all that kind of stuff. And we're going to be delving into that with her shortly. Sylvia is also a special guest because she is our first ATN tutor. She's going to be doing a course about Twinmotion using Heatherwick's Little Island project, which you can find in the link below, which is releasing very soon. So stay tuned for that. As always, though, if you like this episode, please give us a like and a subscribe to help grow the channel. Share it with your friends and colleagues. You can follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, or here on YouTube for all our upcoming events, courses, and all the other cool stuff going on. But without any further ado, let's jump into it and have a chat with Sylvia. All right, Sylvia, we're live. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining.
Hello, Oli. Thank you for inviting me and having me here.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk to you. Obviously, I've kind of given you a bit of an introduction before, but as I do, I like to give my bullet point introduction for people that may not already know you. So, Sylvia, you are an immersive media specialist at Heatherwick Studios, which we'll definitely jump into that. You've been in the world of Unreal over the last few years. You got an Unreal Fellowship, which I know we'll jump into. You've been keynoting at Unreal Fest. And you studied at the Bartlett and went through a traditional architecture background. That's my little introduction. Is there anything else people should know about you that they may not know from online?
That's true. Thank you very much. Perfect introduction. Correct. I am an immersive video specialist now at Heatherwick Studio, focusing more basically in all of the new technologies, VR, AR, and everything related to real-time rendering, to enable projects to use it. We are playing with Enscape, Twinmotion, Unreal, which is the software that we love the most, or at least I love the most. We're going to talk a bit more about that in a second, yeah. I guess.
Maybe let's keep going with that. As an immersive media specialist at Heatherwick, you're using all these kind of things. How do you work with the teams in terms of, you mentioned a few, like Enscape, Twinmotion, Unreal. How do you work with teams? Are you helping them learning Unreal and Twinmotion, and how do you use each one, and where do you come in and take a project to the big guy, which is Unreal?
So yeah, basically we do everything related to real render views, animations, 360s, VR, live as well. We focus a lot of interpolability so that all of the software to speak between each other. I do quite a lot of training as well to the studio in general, more or less the designers. There is more focus to the designers. So I train them in Twinmotion, and if they want to, in Unreal. But it's a bit scary to jump just directly into Unreal. So that's why we try to push them first in Twinmotion and then jump into Unreal. We do as well AI optioneering, and then a bit of XR and talks around the world, showing what we have been doing around the world. So for example, I am called at the beginning of a project. So they start with, we are doing this project, it's set up in, I don't know, Dubai. So I will come in, hopefully, at the beginning of it, set all the context on the project, set cameras, set a landscape around it. Even if they don't have options or anything related to the project, we already have it in a real-time platform. Normally, the designers will use Enscape for quick iterations, so day-to-day iterations. Then if we want to push it a bit harder, like in terms of quality, in terms of VR, of animated people, and like accurate landscape, then we push it to Twinmotion. And then because we already have this context model, then they will call me at 50% or 75% delivery so that I put the options inside the software. If there is an immersive media specialist inside of the team, they will be doing this. And then I will be just helping out. And if they need to import it into Unreal, then I will receive this, hopefully, Twinmotion model. And then I can put it inside Unreal. If not, because I was already called before, it's just importing options. And then at the end, 100% delivery, then we will normally deliver like a full-on animation, maybe put it inside Spaceform, which is software that I guess we can talk a bit more later about, but it's just a collaboration tool that is run by Unreal as well. But the cool part of it is that we can optimize it and put it in VR. It doesn't matter like where in the world you are, but you can just jump into the platform and be able to visualize it. And that's how we present it to the client as well. If we have a very nice director or like project leader that wants to just focus a bit more in immersive media, maybe we can just put it in a 360 room like we did as well in Lightroom in King's Cross. So it was a massive space with our project, and that was, the client was ultra surprised about it. Or even we can do a gameplay in Fortnite or something like that.
Yeah. So much you can do from that space. I think it's kind of interesting that you were saying you're still kind of Enscaped and Twinmotion. Do you find anything has changed recently? For example, like in Big, we were very much an Enscaped. We are very much an Enscaped company, and but Twinmotion has started to kind of make a comeback, and we do see the teams, like particularly if products are very nature rich, whatever, they're in a forest or on mountains or like on water or whatever it is, Twinmotion seems to be better at that, and you get way more moody images, and you can use mega scans. Are you seeing now, maybe is Twinmotion like making a comeback and taking over Enscaped?
100%, of course. And I really think, like, I feel that I'm working for Unreal, for Epic Games, but it's not. Like, I really think it's because Epic Games bought them, and then all of the interface, like UX design and so on, changed to be super friendly and super easy to use for anybody. So I normally call Twinmotion the baby of Unreal because it's super similar in terms of like the buttons and so on, but super easy. So anybody can jump in and just use it immediately. And the quality, because it was bought by Epic Games, the guys from Unreal, then it's just being pushed up. So the fact that for example, in Enscape, if you want to populate plants, if you have a script in Grasshopper, then you can do that. But then you will need a Grasshopper script to be able to populate in Enscape. And then it doesn't make any sense. Like if you just put it inside Twinmotion with or Unreal, but let's talk about Twinmotion, with a direct link called Datasmith or whatever direct link you want to have between your 3D modeling and the real-time visualization tool, then with one click, just choosing the species, you will be able to populate it and have accurate planting over it. So the fact that you can deliver a project that is full-on architectural, like with correct materials for interior design, correct facade, correct urban design, and then as well have accurate planting and add this layer of accuracy and like real species inside your project, then it's just very rich and just with two clicks. And if you don't like it, you erase it and then you just change the species and then again, one click and it's there. So in general, for delivering a complete project, I will always try to use Twinmotion or Unreal. So that's why I think people are using it more nowadays. Even though I think in the studio still, for day to day, they're using Enscape and it's working and it's fine. But like it's understanding where in the pipeline you can add this extra like high quality animations or VR or render stills, this sort of new things that you can increase the fidelity and as well like get engaged with the client better, I guess.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I think that's kind of the way I see it also being used. Talk to us maybe a little bit about how did you get into the immersive side, right? Was this something that you studied at uni or you just kind of picked it up along the way? How did you get into the immersive side of things?
So I am a proper like architect, 5 years of architecture in Colombia, which I love. Like it's important to have this sort of background so that you get to understand that that's not what you want to do. So then I did my master's in the Bartlett, which is architectural master's, but I was doing interactive design, which was totally different. As a classic architect, I had never think about coding or I was using soft robotics to create a mask that read emotions, and like I was trying to solve the world in a whole different thing. Like I was doing architecture for the body, and I lost my mind in a way. Like I was like, how is this architecture? Like what? Like I remember one of my theses, teachers in Colombia saying I was doing some modules in my thesis for after 5 years of architecture, and the teacher was like, this is not architecture. This is industrial design. I was like, what do you mean? It's design in general. Everything can be architecture. And then just boom, a year later, going to the Bartlett and just doing architecture for the body was like mind blowing. So after that, I guess like I understood that architecture can be a bit more wider than what I thought back in the times. And then I entered to Heatherwick. And I was doing landscape design that either I have done before, so it was like a whole new world for me. And we had this problem of not being able to visualize landscape in the best way possible. Like normally something that you will do in post-production. So for example, if you have a render in 3ds Max, whatever, in V-Ray, then you will go to Photoshop and add the planting. Or even if you render out in V-Ray, like with all of the plants, it will take an astronomical amount of time to render out all of the plants. So either you will be able to do any changes that quickly. So for us, like the solution was no, like we need to have a real-time technology software. So we hooked into Unreal. We were trying out Unreal before, but it took us like a month to deliver a project. It was 1,000 trees in Shanghai. So you can imagine we were trying to replicate 1,000 trees and it took us a month. And the quality at the end was like amazing for us. But now that I look at it, it's nothing to compare to what we do now. So it was super fun to just hook into it. Then I remember being asked to replicate all of the, I don't know, it was like 60 species that we had in our Revit schedule, which I love Revit. So it was super fun to just be able to have this Revit, like very technical Revit drawings of landscape, which as well is difficult. Like doing landscape in Revit is not that straightforward. And then replicating these species that were California species, we were doing Google's headquarters in Silicon Valley, all in Unreal. So we had already this template. It took me like a month as well, like just doing it all together, like buying some. Then if we didn't find them, just mixing two assets and creating new species in general. I was in that moment, I was not even thinking about optimization. So you could imagine like all of the files were ultra heavy. Like it was super difficult to move around, but it was accurate. We had everything super accurate. So in that case, like we did, like after, like the problem next was to optimize all the planting. So we reduced the mesh, the triangular mesh, and then we already had a California template for landscape. And that's how I jumped into Unreal. Then they needed a Chinese, we were doing a project in China, so Chinese template for landscape. So then I did that, and then I a European one. So now, like in the studio, we have different templates depending on the geolocation of the project. And from there, I was just helping out with everything related to immersive media. And then they did it VR. Then they needed something with helping out with making. And then I was just, it was just a natural shift for me because I really liked it. I have as well played video games like my whole life. So it was like, yeah, let's do it. So yeah, I'm there now.
That's great. Yeah, I did always hear from the outside about you starting as in the landscape. The landscape thing was the problem, right? And then it seems you've just kind of like, you know, continued with that. But yeah, I remember seeing in some talks or, you know, when I started to hear about you, it was about Unreal and landscape. But that's really cool. It's just kind of like evolved from that space. And I didn't know you were a secret BIM lover. So that's a good one. We'll make that in.
Landscape BIM. Like it's more specific.
Oh, landscape BIM? That's a weird niche as well. Let's talk a little bit about like the impact you think Unreal will have on the industry, because I'm very excited about Unreal. I think right now a lot of our podcasts recently have all been on AI, and AI is like this the new kid on the block that everyone's excited about, and everyone is FOMOing over, you know, images or chat GPTs or whatever it is. But actually, I think, and 2023, let's be fair, was the year of AI stuff, right? But I felt during this time, there was some really cool stuff going on in Unreal that I think, because people were like looking over at AI over here, they were missing out on some of the incredible stuff that's happening in Unreal. Maybe talk about how you feel Unreal will have an impact and like, you know, some of its capabilities beyond just images and animation, because there's so much stuff you can potentially do, right?
Yeah, so maybe not like, yeah, Unreal is a very good tool, but there's quite a lot of real-time rendering tools that as well are using AI. I don't know, like I was in a conference and I talked, like I was hearing as well these guys from Omniverse that they have this real-time technology platform as well. And then they wanted to place a texture, I remember, in a cushion, like a very small section of a sofa. And then they were writing down, like, I want this parrot knitted by my granny and blah, blah, blah. And then it was there. So it's super nice to see those sort of, like, I think AI is doing their stuff, and it's going to come as well into the real-time rendering world. Unreal or not Unreal, like it's going to come here. So it's already there. So like in terms of Unreal, as for the new things that are happening, like for 2024, we have been using and testing out quite a lot the Unreal for Fortnite, which is amazing to just have to be able to reduce your project into 2 megabytes and be able to play around into, I don't know if you're a Fortnite geek, but
I did download it on my PlayStation. I played it with my cousin or someone like a few years ago, but it's a good game.
It's very hard. Like I am such a bad player. Like I get killed immediately. So it's super nice to see that it's not just about that base of like landing in an island and killing everybody. So it's more than that. So you can curate your game to do whatever you want. Like we have been exploring a bit more friendly games about research and about showing people different sorts of objects, and it's fun. Like it's a very nice like way of tidying up Fortnite. That is the main thing that keeps alive Epic Games and Unreal. That is what architects and like developers and so on are using to do Fortnite. So they should keep this, rolling, because it's going to take them somewhere very nice. And it's good that people are exploring it. I have been exploring as well 3D scanning with Luma, which is an app as well that has a plugin inside Unreal. And basically what they do is that you are 3D scanning with nerves. So it's using machine learning, AI, to be able to learn every time that you 3D scan an object. And for example, there are some objects like, I don't know, glass or metals that normally don't 3D scan well in photogrammetry, but with Luma, it's amazing how neat it is. And just by having the texture, that as well is like it learns from it. So I don't know, the results are super good, and it's, we have been using it as well. We have been like, we have paired up with the making team, basically the people that are doing the model making, the physical ones, and with the archive team, so that we implement into our pipeline, having a Luma 3D scan of each of the models that we send over, so that we already have like a 3D library of our physical archive, which it's already there, but it's super nice to have it digital as well, because it's different from a 3D model, because every time that you do a physical model, you need to reduce and change materials of everything. It's totally different. So it has been a very nice plugin that we have been using. As well, we have been using Odyssey. That as well is another plugin that is basically hand sketching over your 3D world in Unreal. So it's, of course, like now with the Oscars and all of the these magic animated movies, that you have seen the change on animation already, that is more about hand sketching and the old ways of doing animation than ultra like high rend, like how do you call it, like real rendering. It's more about hand sketching and so on. So it's nice that Odyssey is giving us this feature of being able to have this sort of mesh, like pencils and some sort of like a package of objects that you can just stick to to the 3D assets to make it a bit more a hand sketch, which in Heatherwick we love. Basically, in all of our projects, we use hand sketch to show our stories and tell all the stories. So it will be nice to merge both the 3D world with the hand sketch mode. So that's nice as well. And there are a few others, like I can continue, like the in 2024, they're gonna as well like deliver like procedural content generation. That means that basically you just put some parameters in the I don't know, like for example in like the landscape, and then generate. And then like you will say, here I will, I don't know, it's rocks, and then in the next one is wood, but then they will merge between rocks and wood so that it's not like a patch and a patch. So that's insane. I love it. Like it's just getting better with time.
maybe if we zoom out, do you feel like there's a future where I kind of feel like the next architecture practices that will be ahead of the curve will be working in Unreal, because for so many different reasons, it almost seems like once you've built your project in Unreal, you get images, animation, VR, all that stuff, which, you know, that's fine. And you get it with Twinmotion as well. But then you also get stuff like you can interact with your model via the web. You can turn it into a video game. You can, if you go into the world of metaverses, and we won't get into defining metaverse and stuff like that, but like it's always mostly Unreal. And then maybe even the storytelling, you could really get into cinematography of storytelling. So do you feel like we'll see a lot of future practices revolving around Unreal?
100% sure. Like, again, I love Unreal, but maybe it's just about like real-time rendering itself. Like there are other softwares that are using it. I use Unreal because I feel that is the one that is like grabbing all of these filmmaking, gameplay, podcast, how do you call it when you are being filmed in a broadcast? Yeah, like that. Yeah. Like you're being filmed and then you have yourself in green camera and they're using it now for, I don't know, for the news and so on. Like they depends on what sort of game, like soccer, football game won. They already have it in their control and boom, they change it immediately. This one and then everything around your virtual world, meanwhile you're in the broadcasting, is on the team's logo and so on. So they use it already. They did parts of, well, they did the Mandalorian, of course, like if you have seen this series in Disney Plus, go and watch it. It's all done in Unreal and it's ridiculous. Like it's just very good quality. So I think that the part, like the what is keeping us a bit further away to be using it in every day is the fact that it's not such an easy software to learn at the beginning.
A bit more of that learning curve, right?
Correct. So if you, it's, I guess it's like coding in a way, like, or Grasshopper as well. Like as soon as you learn it, you can keep learning for the rest of your life. You will never be able to know everything about it, but you can do stuff easier and then you can ask. And then if you manage to have a team of people that are using real-time rendering softwares, then they can help you out and you will find the person that is specialized in landscape like me, or somebody that is specialized in blueprints, that is the coding inside Unreal, or, and then you get to have this team and for sure you will be able to deliver all the projects, like all of the high-end projects in Unreal or using real-time technology for sure. Yeah. Like there are, at least Squint Opera did that with Spaceform, that it was just like a soup, how do you call it?
It was like Unreal wrapped in Spaceform.
Correct. So it's just like a startup where they wanted to create this metaverse for architects, and it's from another company, but because they did it so well, now they are their own company. So it's good that instead of having small companies inside the company, it's just one big one where we could all do the same in a way. But I don't know, the future, I don't know.
It's exciting times. And I definitely recommend it, people to look into the Mandalorian thing. Like it was filmed in a very cool way. In a simple description of it, it's basically filmed in a 360 degree screen. And actually as they move, the background moves as well. Which is really cool, which also opens up this world of potentially architects. If you do have some cool products that don't get built and you have an Unreal model, you could also open yourself up to a world of film and games and be like, hey, we got this really cool product. It didn't work out. We didn't build it, or we just built it because it was kind of a cool concept. Boom, it's now in the background of The Mandalorian or whatever film people are working on.
Of course, like, yes, imagine a world where, I don't know, there is a Heatherwick architect in each of the Oscar nominees movies that are animated. Like, imagine that. Like, it's just incredible. Imagine the quality of the cinematography of it. It's perfect. It's a dream job.
And you and I know that, like, you know, in these firms, it's like an iceberg. You only see from the outside maybe 20% of the products, and there's like 80% that don't make it or don't get seen outside the studio for whatever reason. Maybe this is a new place for architects to go with.
Yeah, there are some shorts that they're sorry, I'm just talking about this. We are in the moment of movies, so we need to talk about like awards and so on. But there are a few that are made in Unreal and they got to Oscar nominees, like short films, animated short films. So take a look at that as well.
Opens up new worlds. And talking about worlds, let's talk about you did this Unreal fellowship with Unreal, which was. It was an Unreal Fellowship in World Building, right? Was the title of it. I know you might have some things to share, but maybe give us a brief overview of what that is, and I know you can show us a little bit about what you did.
So yeah, I got inside the World Building Fellowship of 2023. The cool part of this is that it's free. It's for anybody that applies to it. So I will encourage anybody that wants to learn Unreal for free to just apply. So basically they take, I don't know how many applicants, they were like thousands or something, and they narrowed down to 100. Like happily I was one of them, of the 100. And then it's about world building. So it was curated for people that want to work. I think I was the only architect in the 100, yeah. Or at least, no, maybe there were three or four. And for sure, I was like I was the only woman between 100, like maybe there were other three. It's just insane how not diverse this world is, and it should be more open to more women and architects around it. So basically, they curated to people that want to do, to create worlds in cinematography or in games or in architecture practice. So I think that's why I made the cut. And then, if you want, I can show a bit more how they do it. But basically, to sum it up, you will have 4 weeks or 3 weeks of, like, it's a boot camp where you will have classes every day in the week. And then as well, do a project at the end that you will showcase to the tutors and to the other fellows. And then from there, if you get recognized with your video clip or animation or whatever you do, then you can present it in the Unreal Fest or just show it to the world. And I was super proud of it, but I'm going to show you the creative way that they do for presenting it. 1 second. You're seeing my screen, right?
We got you.
Perfect. So as I mentioned, there are 100 people. That means that they need to be able to show 100 projects differently. So I don't know if you guys have ever played Dungeons and Dragons. I had never, but they told me that you need to draw some dice. And literally we were drawing the dice virtually because everything is virtual. So it's people from around the world that it's super nice as well to get to know people that are working in different fields, but they have the same interests, and then be able to create a world. So I just had literally three numbers, 8, 1, and 9, and then you need to divide them depending on the attributes. So you get to choose a bit how your world want to be. But for example, I choose to have a landscape with the genre sci-fi, that it had visual style of surrealism and Bauhaus architecture with the environmental fog. And then I need to add a plot twist that it was a zoo or animalia. And then it had to be, like, materials had to be black and white, but as well I needed to do rock, concrete, and clay. And the time of day, it needed to be golden hour after late afternoon.
That's a good time of day.
The best one, but still, like, it's super complicated. Like, you can read here, like, there were so many options. There were projects under the water. There were projects that had a plot twist that was aliens or apocalyptic is coming. So it was amazing to see the projects of everybody. So this was like, and then you get to draw the dice, and then they give you literally like a paragraph where they will encourage you to place it in mid-journeys and then start having, like, I don't know, like some inspirational images and understand how you can make it and how to start building your world. So again, there are people that have never ever touched Unreal, and from moment like week one, you are already creating this project and thinking about how on earth you're going to manage to deliver something. At the end, you needed to deliver 5 renders with any post-production, and then an animation, a 1-minute animation, and a turntable that you will see in a second.
You can do it with no experience in Unreal.
They will teach you everything. So they will like they will bring tutors and like even speakers, and they will teach you all you need to know. Everything. And then because you already have a project, then again you will have sessions that you will be asking questions that are very tuned in to what you need. So in my case, I was having a problem, but not problem, but I was having difficulties with the landscape. I had like, normally, if you're an architect, you will create the landscape in Rhino and import it. I had never created that landscape from zero inside Unreal. So that was amazing to learn how to do it as well. So, okay. So for the tidy landscape swamp, I choose this inspirational image. This is, you cannot take more than, a day of thinking of this stuff. Like it is so fast paced because you need to deliver so many things that is just go for the concept and just don't change it. So I love this Japanese landscape. I took it literally quite similar for the surrealism architecture. I was thinking about like inversing structures, curves, and like placing one thing over another, and then a bit of a stretch here about the constructive concrete colony. So I was thinking to do some sort of follies like the Park of La Villette in Paris, but like with my architecture. And then for the Sue plot twist Animalia, and because it was surrealism, I was thinking about using the Dalí elephants that we all love. And I was like, okay, I have the basics now. How do I do it? So literally, as I mentioned, I took the plan of the other project, and I start carving with like similar ways on how the other project was made. I did a base module that then I put them in different size and different heights. And then I created like a cluster geometry where then I just created this swamp landscape where it's just amazingly beautiful in the middle of, I don't know where these are just images exported from Unreal. I didn't do any sort of post-production. They are exported in 4K or 8K, something like that. And then my lovely elephant that I downloaded from a very dodgy place, and then I just changed the texture and literally I did the skeleton mesh so that I could animate it, and then a very easy and like quite simple bridge as well, bit parametric, but I didn't use that much grasshopper, but nobody will know that until now. And then the sunset, and this will be like the, I don't know if you're going to see the animation or not, or even if you're going to hear.
I don't know if we'll get
the audio, but I can
add it afterwards, but
it's very loud in my computer, so I'm not hearing anything that you're saying, Oli. Can see like the whole elephant walking, just a sneak peek, the particles that as well, they came from Niagara. That was something that I had never used before in Unreal. So they show us how to do particles in Niagara. And then this cluster of my architecture model cluster, I literally just twisted up and down to create different sort of folies in general. So I wanted to create I wanted the landscape to dig inside the architecture. You could see part of the architecture just spread around the canals of the pond. Just elephants walking around everywhere.
It's like a Burning Man in the swamp.
It is
Which is a bit like you went to the rainy Burning Man, right? So
yeah, one second that this is too loud. Okay, and then sorry, I was not hearing you, Oli.
I was saying it's a little bit like a swamp Burning Man, and you actually went to the Burning Man that rained a lot, so your vision became true.
It's true. This is Burning Man on acid. When the last days of Burning Man 2023, where I almost didn't manage to get out because of the rain. But the best experience ever, guys. If you have been to Burning Man or not, go again. Like, I really recommend it. And then this is the turntable that you need to show, like, nothing is moving, like, everything needs to be static. It's just a camera rotating around your object, your main centerpiece, so that the world builder can understand how big it is and how extended it is. And then, like, really what make the whole, like, the whole fellowship come together and just give me tears quite a lot was that at the end you get to participate. If your project gets chosen and you are good and blah, 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 like, you get to present in the Unreal Fellowship Fest. And then mine got chosen, and then, like, you get to hear and see the comments of the people. And this was, like, the best one ever. Like, my son has been sitting next to me and ignoring all of the scenes, but this one has completely caught his attention. That's a huge compliment for an autistic child. Yeah. And then I was like, yeah, that's it. I don't need to do anything more. Like, mic drop.
I love the project. Animation is super cool. The turntable is really cool as well, actually. To actually take a step back and see the whole world is really cool. I love the idea of world building. I might apply to this, actually. This is
cool. So try it. They do it every year. Like, they change normally themes. I remember that they started with like storytelling, so they show you as well how to do storyboard. Yeah, when you draw the scenes for everything, so they do it inside Unreal as well. So it was more curated for film. Now they are changing it a bit more for Fortnite and, like, gaming. Mm. So it's cool as well. I think that's the bridge of world building. And the next one was in animation. So you get to animate all the characters in Unreal. And the next one, I don't know what it's going to be, but yeah.
So anyone listening, you can have a look. I'll maybe try and find it and put it in the link below. But apply, because it seems like an awesome experience.
It's an awesome experience, yeah.
Yeah.
And Hederic as well was super, super keen on, like, giving me the time to do it. And of course, like, if I learn something, then I will teach it back to the studio and the people. Yeah. So it was amazing.
Well, now you're the Unreal expert now.
Yes, at least the one that I, like, there are a few others that, like to do Unreal and play with it quite a lot. But I'm the one that have the time, like, the dedicated time to be able to do it in the studio.
No, it's super exciting. You got me more inspired to get better at Unreal. Maybe to switch a tiny bit on not only images and animation and stuff like that, but is there any kind of fun things you're experimenting with in terms of AR and VR? And are they in, like, VR, I get, is kind of typically Unreal and Spaceform. Which shout out to Spaceform. I think both us at Big and you guys at Heatherwork were testing and implementing that. But what about augmented reality? Have you played much with augmented reality and any kind of cool things in that space?
So I think for augmented reality and Unreal is more for developing, like, a quick app that you can just be able to have this sort of, at least, like, for example, if you are 3D scanning your model with the Luma or whatever, be able to see it and place it around the studio so that we can see if it fits and so on. So it's more of that. We have been experimenting way more with VR in terms of again, shout out to Spaceform, but of having not just with space, not with Unreal, but with even with Enscape, with Twinmotion, being able to understand the scale since the beginning, so that you are not doing extremely massive things around that has been super helpful to the studio. They like immediately, like normally if you do whatever sort of massing, they will immediately put it in VR so that you are understanding the scale of it. And if it's too big, how to narrow it down to make it a human scale. So I think that's the biggest tool that we have been using as well. The client loves it. Sometimes it's a bit scary. In terms
like
of
headset thing and
in terms of like being the first one, like I'm up for it, like I'm gonna put the headset, like that doesn't happen unless the client it's sort of like knows about it or likes gaming or is not afraid of it. So what has been working a lot is XR, like basically just augmenting, like not with the HoloLens, we have been using HoloLens as well for checking like structural infrastructure in the site as well, but it's more XR as in a massive space where you can just project your visuals and everybody around it can see it. So that's if you have a 360 room. We're planning to have it as well in the new in our new studio that you already visit. There is a dedicated space for that. But if you have a bigger space, like we have like happily we have been able to work with Lightroom that is 26 meters long by 18 meters wide and 12 meters height. So that's and like just scaling up the project and being able to see it live, like the scale of it, and all of the client, our directors, and everybody just walking around it, understanding it. That's the most helpful tool at the moment, in my opinion. Of course, you cannot have it every day at every time, but if you do, like XR is the way to go.
Yeah, and a little teaser there. We were at the Heatherwick office this week. If you've been following our Instagram, you'll be seeing we're doing an architect tour. By the time this podcast come out, the video will be coming in a month or two, so stay tuned for that. But it was I was really blown away by the space that you guys have, all these really cool models. So yeah, it's a very cool episode, and we talked with Sylvia and Pablo there a little bit more about these kind of things. Like one of the final questions I usually ask guests at the moment is like, what excites you as you look ahead in 2024 in terms of tech? And this can be something in Unreal. It could be like this whole AI thing. Could be something totally else. Is there anything you're super excited for 2024 on the horizon?
Yeah, I really want to see how like XR technology is developing. Like I think there is. As I mentioned, VR is cool, but the fact that you can interact with the people around it, it's even better. So excited to see what's going to happen soon with that. I know that there are so many things in the pipeline as well between the, this is a bit more geeky, but for sure, like the language between what you export from Twinmotion and enters into Unreal. Like big shout out to Epic Games. If you are hearing it, please try to give us everything that we need. That is basically import all the animated persons and people around so that we can use it in Unreal as already there. So like, I think everything is being developed as we speak. So I'm very happy for that as well. Twinmotion is going to just having Lumen inside Twinmotion, having a Substance Painter inside Twinmotion, that's insane. Like, I'm so happy for that. Like, there's so many things. Like, I feel that it's happened so fast that you learn it and then you need to learn it again. Like tomorrow.
Actually, in terms of like the XR of stuff, is there a particular headset as well, you know, with the Apple headset coming out, is there something like that that's also going to push it?
For sure. Like I have not tried it out, so I'm excited to not be that expensive and maybe try it out.
I haven't seen the price tag. The Apple stuff is usually not cheap.
No, but for sure we will try it in the studio. We have as well, like even with the new Oculus headset, with the Oculus 3, you can the cameras in front of them, they're already like, it's more of an augmented reality situation than a VR. So you get to see the people around. You can just use your fingers to like click on it. So just playing with the fact of having your hands and be able to see the space and react to the space, that's I'm very happy with that.
Exciting times. And of course, we can let the audience know that we have a little bit of announcement. Well, that's already out there, but Sylvia is our first ATN tutor that's coming on board. That's we're about to release next week, your Twin Motion Masterclass. And I can personally say, because I am technically your first student from it, because I learned everything from editing the videos, it's a great course. I was an Enscape person. I really wanted to make a switch. So I feel like my Twin Motion days are ahead of me now. But yeah, well, I'll put the link to your course in below the video here, but your course will be releasing next week. So stay tuned for that, people, and get it. We're going to be doing two versions of the course, where one, you can access the videos, and two, where you can access the videos and have a Q&A with Sylvia. So go and check that out, where you can actually come and speak to Sylvia and meet her. But yeah, I'm very excited for that. And hopefully we'll have you in the future as well to teach some cool stuff with Unreal.
For sure. Very excited. Please, guys, stay tuned with the Twin Motion Masterclass. It's very, very deep on everything that you need to know about it. Like, I don't think that I gave it all. Like, I don't think that you will learn anything more. Like, it's there. Everything is there. Of course, for sure, you will have tons of questions. So happy to answer them all. But from placing like twin motion materials, mega scan materials, anything related to landscape. As I mentioned before, I was a landscape designer, so you will learn quite a lot on how to accurately place planting, just to be able to have in four clicks different sort of planting, change of seasons just by changing a slider, change of day to night, change of the of raining to snowing with just one slider. You don't need to learn how to code. It's just moving one thing. Animated people, animated cars, animated boats, anything can be animated. It's just insanely easy. Yeah. Of course, like very cinematic shots, like increasing the sun so that you have this sort of like epic Blade Runner videos around. It's in Little Island, so as well, it's a super beautiful project. You will be as well 3D scanning objects around your house. You will get to see my house and my dog. And just to be able to place it inside Twin Motion and play with it is just insane. So as well, you will learn how to do it in VR. And even like even if you are keen on it, you will just be able to put it in the cloud and have a link and send it to your client or to your family or your loved ones, whatever. And they can look around the space and they don't need to know Twin Motion to be able to see what you're seeing. So I am very keen for everybody to join the Twin Motion class, and I'm happy to be here around it.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's a great course. Yeah, like you said, it covers everything. And you guys will be actually learning with Sylvia building Heatherwick's Little Island, which is super cool. So yeah, we're very excited for this. Where can people reach out to you? Do you have anything else that you want to shout out to? I'll put in the links below your Instagram and LinkedIn. Please. But if people want to reach out, where's the best place to reach out?
Yeah, LinkedIn, Instagram, like click here like that, literally all of them. LinkedIn, Instagram, you can put my email if you want to, but I think I am more responsive in LinkedIn or Instagram.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting year ahead in terms of Unreal, Twin Motion, and our collaboration. So thank you, Sylvia, for coming on. And we'll be looking forward to having you on in the future as well and other things we got going on.
Perfect. Thank you, Oli. Thank you, everybody, to hear
all right
everything that we have been saying.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be back next month with a very special podcast. This is going to be our 50th podcast. And we just recorded it yesterday, actually. We're calling ourselves the AI Avengers. It's a terrible name, we know. But we're going to be talking with Will Gardner, Tim Fu, and Diego Castro about AI. So stay tuned for that. But for now, thank you, Sylvia. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Thank you. Bye.
Ciao, ciao.